Well, hello, everybody. Can I just tell you how excited I am to walk through something shimmery? It's like my favorite thing in the world. I dressed as shimmery as I could for you guys today. So is anybody, can you tell that I'm shimmering today? I am so excited to be here with you ladies this morning. I thank you for welcoming me and for loving me so closely. I was so overwhelmed with Francesca. Can we give her another? Thank you, guys. Now, true confession. Did anybody try to sing like Francesca in the shower this morning? I did a little bit. And I think I did a pretty good job. Yes, I think I did. I'm still waiting to be called in. I'm available for backup singers if anybody. No, don't do it. Don't do it. Lenia, thank you for your message last night. Lenia is a world changer. A world changer. And this body of Christ is blessed to be able to be under her leadership. And I think one of the things that she would want to make sure that we started this morning talking about is that you're all world changers too. And you don't have to float down a river in Burma to change the world. Amen? Amen. You might be rocking babies and you're changing the world. You might be loving a husband who's unlovable. And you're changing the world. So keep on shimmering. Now, shimmering for me is a really personal thing. I love to shimmer. I told the ladies the other night that I have the spiritual gift of accessorizing. It's somewhere in the Bible. I'm not sure where it is. But here, this is a true story. Just to tell you how much, Lenny and I are going to blow glitter later. We can actually blow glitter here. Who knew? What a great thing. But I already blow glitter, and let me tell you how I do it. Black Friday in Charlotte, North Carolina is the day after Thanksgiving, and my daughter and I are the two that get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and we're out at the stores, and of course we have to go to Michael's. Well, Michael's is nothing but a store, it's like a pool of glitter that you just happen to walk through and buy stuff, right, the day after Thanksgiving. And I'm the kind of person, most people are trying to get it off of them, I'm known to take a Christmas bulb and rub it on my cheeks. True story. True story. Does anybody else do that? No, I'm not seeing any hands. I am quite unique, aren't I? I am quite unique. Well, today we're going to talk about if the shoe fits, it's okay to be peculiar. How many of you have ever noticed people are different than you? Yeah, right? Some people are just a little different than you. In fact, sometimes you might even say people are peculiar. When I first started studying personalities over a decade ago, I looked up the definition for the word personality, and it means the characteristics and traits that are peculiar to an individual. And I thought, well, that's a weird use of the word peculiar. So I looked up the definition of the word peculiar, and guess what it means? Created to stand apart. Amen! Isn't that exactly? First of all, we're holy in the body of Christ, so we're set apart. And today, God has created you to stand apart, to shimmer in His world. And I want you to hear this over and over again this morning. Part of you being peculiar and created to stand apart is understanding your wiring, understanding you are wired for a calling, you are wired for a purpose, and you are wired for a destiny. And my prayer, my heartfelt prayer, is that you will let God unpack your wiring today so that you can walk in godly confidence, godly confidence. We want you to shimmer today. We want you. I used to think that God created four personalities, and thank goodness I got the good one. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? I've since learned something very different. But you'll learn a lot about some of the special people in my life. And God, in His grace and sovereignty and mercy and wisdom, created my husband and I very differently. Is anybody married to an opposite? Amen. Okay, so my husband is you're going to take your assessment in a minute. He's a work boot or a D personality, and I'm a stiletto or an I personality. One of my husband's favorite sayings, and don't judge him, but he's careful how he says this, is this: only speak if you can improve upon the silence. Okay. Now, understand, Work boots are kind of bottom line. You know what I mean? They don't need a lot of chit-chat. Well, I'm a stiletto. So to which I always respond to him, I always think my speaking improves upon the silence. 25 years later, and we're still married. So today I want to start off with a writing assignment. I'm going to have a little writing assignment for you ladies. I want you to take your assessment. You've got a little handout here today that the team did for you. So take this handout out and write your name on the handout. Now I'd like you to take your pen. Is everybody figured out there? We got a little confusion. You got your assignment so far? Did you write your name? Got it? Now put your pen in the opposite hand and write your name again. Yes, I'm serious. Put your pen in the opposite hand and write your name again. This is my favorite part because some of you have your tongues out right now. Okay, is everybody done? No, because you're still working on it, aren't you? You're still trying to figure out, how do I do this? I want to make an observation for you. I want to make a quick observation. When I asked you guys to grab your assessment and write your name on it, not one of you looked at me like, what is she asking me to do? You simply grabbed your pen and wrote your name. It's natural. It's how you're created. It's how you're wired. You don't even have to think about it. When your pen went from your natural hand to your unnatural hand, now that's when something happened. That's when something happened, right? And I know I always have somebody who's ambidextrous in the audience. Bless you. That's a gift. You have the spiritual gift of being ambidextrous. But when you grabbed your pen in your natural hand, now some of you thought things like this. Does she want me to write it on the front or the back? Does she want my first name and my last name? Does she want it in cursive or printed? Raise your hand if you did that. You are all Mary Janes. Every single one of you is a Mary Jane here today for your assessment. Now, what does this teach us about our wiring? There are going to be times, three things happened when your pen went from your natural hand to your unnatural hand. Number one, you were uncomfortable. Number two, it took you longer. And number three, it still didn't look as good. And that's what happens in our wiring. God, I believe, has gifted us and given us a purpose, a destiny, and a calling, and he has wired us in our temperament for it. Because God would not give us an assignment that we constantly have to use our other hand. Amen? So everything that you need in the body of Christ is within you. Now, you can get better at it. You can kind of, God's going to chip away on your weaknesses, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, you're going to get better at some of your weaknesses by the power of his Holy Spirit. You can get better at your strengths, too. But by and large, he's going to call you to do kingdom work using your natural wiring. Now, he also is going to call you occasionally to write with that other hand. Now, one of the things that I can never do naturally is math. I cannot add two and two and get four. In fact, when I came here on the plane, there were three time zones. I left East Coast time, and we flew to Phoenix, which we are not exactly sure why we went to Phoenix, but we went to Phoenix to get here. And I was like having a panic attack because I couldn't figure out the math for the time zone. And I really had no idea. I thought we were going to miss our plane in between. I can't do math. Now, part of my role at Proverbs 31 is I'm responsible for a budget. So guess what Lisa Allen does when it's budget time? I plan more time. I get a lot more help. I ask my friends who are good at it to say, can you double check my work? But God does not call me to be the CFO of Proverbs. Thank you, Jesus. And all God's sisters said amen. Lenia did not bring me here to advise on their finances. She brought me here to help them with relationships and team building because that's my wiring. So God will call you from time to time. So we can't get all snotty about our personality and say, well, I'm not wired like that, so I'm not going to do it. But by and large, that's the way God is going to use you. Okay, so here's what we want to do now. We're going to take the SHU assessment, and let me give you some instructions for it. It's this sheet that you have in front of you. I am certified, as Missy said, for DISC. And the DISC program, if anybody understands it, it's basically four letters. And you have to do it online, and it costs money. So I didn't want you guys to have to do that. So I just got creative, and I developed this assessment for you. So you guys can take it right here on the spot. And I'll explain what letters of the DISC it works out to be. But here's the instructions. I'm going to give you just like 5 minutes, and read all of the statements under each area. You're going to have a Mary Jane, you're going to have a work boot, you're going to have a stiletto, and you're going to have a flip-flop. Those are our four shoes we're going to talk about today. Read the statement, and if this is you, put an X next to it. Say, yep, that's pretty much me. If it isn't, leave it blank and keep going. And do all four quadrants until you have an X next to every statement that is about you. Okay? So I'm going to give you 5 minutes to go ahead and do that. Okay, let me tell you how to interpret the assessment that you just took. What you're going to do is everywhere that you have an X, each of those four quadrants, I want you to add up the number of X's in each area. Add up the number of X's and put your total. You'll see at the end of every section, every shoe is a total. Add up your X's and write down your total. Now, whatever your greatest total, your largest total is, that's you. Whatever your second largest total, that's you too. So you could be a blend. You can be almost all one thing. You can be all work boot. Or you could be like work boot and stiletto a little bit. You can be Mary Jane and flip-flop. Whatever it is, just whatever the most numbers are, that's probably the personality that you're most like. Now, turn to your neighbor before we get too far into it and say, you are a beautiful shoe. You're a beautiful shoe. Now, I do have a disclaimer for you guys. I do have a disclaimer because women are visual. And so we're going to talk about the four shoes. We're going to talk about a work boot, a stiletto pump, a Mary Jane, and a flip-flop. Now, if you're a work boot, it doesn't mean that you're ugly with no fashion sense. Okay? I chose a work boot because it talks about something very specifically. This is a worker personality. This is a producer, a driver personality. If you're a Mary Jane, you're not boring. It's a more practical personality. You're more realistic, and you love processes and procedures. If you're a stiletto, doesn't mean you're shallow, you know? Doesn't mean just you like shallow, shiny things. It just means that you tend to be more upfront and a little bit glitzier. And if you're a flip-flop, it doesn't mean you're lazy, you know? It just means you have a more relaxed personality. Now what I'd like you to do with me is I want to read you a story about the four shoes. And these four shoes have just visited a Bible study teaching that I wrote for Wendy Blight, my sweet sister who's speaking with you this afternoon. They're all going to Wendy Blight's teaching, and they're leaving her teaching and making it to their group discussion. And so this is a skit about the four shoes leaving Bible study. Wanda Workboot. I sure love that Wendy's teaching. She's a woman after my own heart. Spends time on the meat, not all the fluff. I hope group today isn't focused on all that touchy-feely stuff. I just like to sit down and get down to business. Oh, and I sure hope no one cries or dribbles on today about all the details of their lives. Just stick to the bottom line, ladies. We don't need all the details. If I was the leader, I would just keep things direct and to the point. In fact, why am I not the leader? Seems like I could just wrap us all up in about half the time and we would get on with our days. I also hope Stacy Stiletto doesn't suck all the air out of the room with her endless stories under the guise of prayer requests. Let's just stick to God's word. It's black and white, and I love to just stick to the facts. Oh, and Franny flip-flops. She needs to just sit up straight and not be so quiet about sharing. Speak up. No one needs to spend so much time being careful about everybody's feelings. Stacy Stiletto. Raise your hand if you're... first of all, where's the work boots? Raise your hand if you're work boots. Okay. Now, where are our Stacy Stilettos? Okay, I am one of these two. Stacy Stiletto is leaving teaching, going to her group. Oh, that teaching was terrific. Wendy is such a relatable girlfriend with such fashion sense and style. I wonder where she got those cute boots. Oh, look, there's Susie and Lisa. I wonder if they can have lunch after group. I'll just head over for a minute before group so we can make our lunch date. 10 minutes later. Oh, I've done it again. How do I keep running late? Oh, well, maybe they won't mind me being late if I tell a funny story about the sale I found this week at Belk's and how I got this entire outfit for only $50. I'm sure they won't mind me breaking into their discussion with my witty story. That would also help them not notice that I no longer have my Bible study binder. Where is that book? The last time I saw it, it was in the back of my car. And they won't be able to tell that I haven't done my homework. Oh, it doesn't matter anyways. What really matters in our group is the relationships and talking about one another's lives. Oh, and I sure hope Wanda Workboot doesn't get all back to business when we start sharing. Who is she to dictate what is on topic and what is off topic? And Mary Jane, always looking at her watch, making us feel like keeping on schedule is more important than focusing on our feelings. I'll be the cheerleader that keeps this group grounded and focused on our relationships. Franny Flip-Flop. How many flip-flops do we have? Franny Flip-Flop. Wendy always makes God's word comforting and easy to understand. Even though I hate to rush anywhere, I really want to get to our group first so I can get that comfy couch seat since it's the most comfortable chair in the room. I sure hope I don't have to say too much today and I won't get called on. I just love it when I can take in all the discussion from my own vantage point and ponder it to myself. Oh, and please don't let Wanda Workboot become bossy in the group today and call Stacy Stiletto out on getting off task. It's almost like she's challenging the true meaning of a passage or something as the way she interprets it. It's like she enjoys the debate, and it just makes me feel like a fight, and I hate conflict, especially in Bible study. Oh, and I also hope Mary Jane doesn't correct the ladies again. Who really cares if it's verse 2 or 10? Why can't we just all get along? Oh, and one more thing. I hope we don't try something new or change things up. I love it when our group is predictable and familiar. Who wants to try something new when we have a good thing going? Mary Jane. How many Mary Janes do we have? Oh, I adore Wendy. She's such an example of a leader who accurately handles the Word of God. I saw her notes, and she has colored tabs and highlighters that match. She understands the truth that God created this world in an orderly fashion, and she reflects order in all she does. She's also organized and on time. I can't stand it when we get off schedule. There's Stacy Stiletto talking and late again. And I'm sure her homework isn't done, or her book is lost, or her dog ate it or something. Oh, why can't she learn to be like me? I have a place for everything and everything in its place. How hard is it to backpack my Bible study bag the night before? Book, Bible, pens, highlighters, water bottle, Kleenex, hand sanitizer, and almonds for a healthy snack. When I get to group, I want to get the same seat I always get, and hopefully we'll start even if people are still coming in late. Perhaps that would teach them that there are rules and processes to stick to. Besides, I want to be able to read the article I brought about how last week's verse we discussed could be misinterpreted from the original text. And I did bring the source documented in my footnotes. I also hope Franny Flip-Flop doesn't lean against me this week. I like her and all, but she can't see where my space begins and hers ends. She was actually wrinkling my shirt. Gotta run because today I want to stay on schedule. Thank you. Well, you know, we laugh about it, right? It's a caricature. But if truth be known, I saw myself in all of those, didn't you? And so I always have two goals when I do this message with you guys, two goals. The first is to help you see yourself the way God sees you, to help you see yourself through His eyes and understand the truth of Psalm 139:14 that it says, I will thank God because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Ladies, we are daughters of the risen King. When we walk out into the world, we should have more confidence and more self-esteem. Not because of who we are, but because of who He is in us. Turn to your neighbor and say, we want to have some godly swagger. Right? We want to be walking. I want you guys at lunchtime to go in the bathroom and go, uh-huh. Yep. Got some stuff on my teeth, but I still got godly swagger. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's masterpiece. That word masterpiece in the Greek comes from the root of the word poema, which is where we get our English word for poem. Ladies, you are God's written poem, walking and breathing in the world. You reflect Him. He has designed and wired you to reflect Him as His masterpiece. And this is where we learn godly confidence versus worldly arrogance. You know, the Kim and Kanye's, that's worldly arrogance, right? We want godly confidence. I believe it's an amazing evangelistic tool because nobody is unattracted to a woman who knows who God created her to be. And those stories that we talked about last night become easier because we can walk in confidence, not only in our wiring, but the story that God's placed within us. So that's the first goal. But the second goal, so yes, we have to get to know who God created us to be. The second one, though, is to help us live the truth of Romans 12:18 that says, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. So as we understand our wiring, my prayer is also that you'll begin to see the wiring of the significant relationships in your life. And this will be a tool that God can use to have amazing conversations and learn to step over before you overstep. Let me explain how my husband and I do this, how we learn to step over before we overstep. I told you we're different. I told you he's a work boot and I'm a stiletto. So if I want to step over my natural wiring, when I come home at night, rather than being real chit-chatty, I'll sit down next to him on the couch while he's watching the History Channel, and I'll bring my laptop, and I'll just sit quietly next to him. Because that speaks love to him. That's stepping over my naturalness. Now, I'll be on social media, so I'm still using words. I'm just doing it on Facebook, do you know what I mean? Or on Twitter. But that's a way that I can show him love and honor him. And when my husband, Bill, wants to step over his natural wiring, he'll say to me on Sunday when I get home, tell me everything that you did on your trip. And he knows that I will start Thursday morning when I left Charlotte. And I will tell him every stinking detail of my trip. And when I see him do that, and I know he's looking at me going, oh, don't blink. When is she going to stop talking? Oh, my gosh, we're only on Thursday night, you know? That shows love. Now, you have to learn the dance. I'm not saying you can't always be the one stepping over, because that's kind of a boundary thing, too. But it's a way that we learn to dance with the body of Christ. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. So those are always the kind of two goals that I have. What does the scripture say about the kind of things that we need to learn about walking in our wiring? One of the verses that I love that highlights this, and Francesca sang about this last night in the song, I think it was to Mallory, about David and Goliath. In 1 Samuel 17, starting with verse 38, it's when David was going to go fight Goliath, and so Saul was going to help him get dressed for battle. And here's what the scripture says. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. I cannot go in these, he said to Saul, because I'm not used to them. So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand and he chose five smooth stones from the stream. He put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. Ladies, I believe there's some people in this room that are trying to walk around in somebody else's clothing. And I think the Lord wants you to lay it down. He's telling you, I cannot go in these. It could be something that your mom told you. Like, you're such a bossy little thing. Ladies are supposed to be demure and quiet. And yet God created you with his amazing leadership boldness. And he wants you to lay down, take off those clothes, and pick up the 5 smooth stones. Everything that you need in your calling and your wiring, God will provide. God will provide. Maybe it's that you've been very laid back, and you were raised by a type A family or something. And somehow your message was, because you're laid back, that you're not effective in the world. And Lord, I think the Lord wants you to lay it down. Don't try to put on somebody else's clothes. I cannot go in these. Turn to your neighbor and say, I cannot go in these. Another scripture that I love that just, it's almost become almost a life mantra for me is Galatians 6, specifically verses 4 and 5. Let me read it to you. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to anyone else. For each one should carry his own load. 2 parts of that verse are very, very important for understanding our temperament. First of all, you need to test your own actions. Turn to your neighbor and say, keep your eyes on your own paper. Yeah. Because if you test your own actions, you don't have to compare yourself. This is where we get in trouble, and we do it in the church, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry we do it. But it's when we have our eyes on someone else that we miss the beauty of who he's created us to be. True confession, I did it yesterday. I confessed it to Wendy Blight in the elevator. I had an amazing, Wendy and I had an amazing lunch with Lenya. And it was just beautiful. And she told us about her calling to take bullets and help babies. And she told us about this amazing story about she spent 2 weeks like literally floating in rivers and bathing in rivers and sleeping on porches and stuff. And it was powerful. Such a gift. But part of me was like, I don't think I could ever do that. You know, I'm kind of a high maintenance kind of gal. You know, I don't see that happening to me. And then we spoke truth to each other, Wendy and I, and we were like, in the name of Jesus, we rebuke that lie. We rebuke that lie. And we also did pray that the Lord wouldn't make us go in a river. Is that bad? So when you own who God created you to be, you don't have to compare yourself. And even more important, and this is the coolest thing in the body of Christ, not only do you not compare yourself, but all of a sudden there's intimacy. Because guess what? You need that person. Because that person does math. Do you know what I'm saying? And then they're not a threat to you anymore. And you can have that Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10, that 2 are better than 1. That's where you have, and that's what the body of a Christ is intended to look like. So when we stop comparing, not only does it make us stronger and healthier, but it builds the body of Christ. Part 2 of this verse in verse 5, for each one should carry their own load. Now, this is a very, very interesting word. The word load in Galatians, they have a lot of different Greek words for load. And they this particular root all has to do with baggage or luggage. Each one should carry your own luggage. Some of these words are the kind of bags or luggage that you could hire out. So I'm staying at a hotel and I could ask somebody, I could pay someone to carry the load. This is not the word. The word that load in this is from the root of a word that's bags that only you can carry yourself. No one else can carry them for you. And they liken it to like nobody else can grieve for you. Nobody else can sleep for you. Boy, do I wish I could have hired that out the other day. Nobody else can be sick for you. It's a load. Your wiring and your calling, only you can carry. And if you're not carrying it, God will still accomplish His work. He spoke from a donkey. He doesn't need us. But we miss the opportunity to leave our mark, His mark, in the body of Christ. So, in addition to load, not only is your temperament and your wiring part of your load, but your experiences are part of your load. Matthew 5 talks about that the rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous. So, we all have great things that are part of our load, and we all have things that are not so great. So, you might have this amazing marriage, and that's the part of your load that you gladly carry. But then you might have a child that's just completely wayward. And God's going to ask you to carry that too. Or you might have this incredible favor in your career. You might be like the CEO of Albuquerque or something. And that's awesome, but your heart is broken because you're in a loveless marriage. Or maybe you're single and you so desperately want a husband. And all I'm here to say to you is God sees all of it and uses all of it. We have to carry our own load. So I want you to take just a minute, and I want you to write down, in addition to whatever wiring comes to mind, is there any part of your load that God wants you to just give back to Him? That maybe you're like, I don't want to carry this load anymore. Just write it down in a moment. Just take a minute and just say, you know, I don't think I want to be single anymore, Lord. I need you to help me carry this load. Or maybe I'm afraid. I know you have a calling for me. I see it on the horizon. I feel it bubbling in my belly, and I'm terrified to take the next step. So just in the quietness of a moment, jot down anything that the Lord brings to mind. I love the quote by Frederick Buechner that says, the place that God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger collide. Part of your deep gladness, ladies, is your wiring. It's the way God has equipped and prepared you to intersect some hunger in the world. And I promise you, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be exciting. Okay, so how do we apply some of this information? We're going to have a lot of information today. You can apply it to ministry teams. You can apply it to your marriage. You can apply it to your boss. You can apply it to your mother-in-law. You can apply it to any significant relationship that you have. So pay attention. You have a handout that's got a grid. Every time you learn something about somebody important in your life, write it down. Write it down, because it's going to give you information on how to best step over and love them the way God created them to be. Now, one of the reasons that we talk about the different temperaments is it is non-threatening, it's non-judgmental, and it's safe. Let me give you an example of how this plays out in my life. When my husband and I begin to understand the temperaments, we go to this really large church in Charlotte. And as I've already told you, I'm pretty chatty. I'm a stiletto, so I tend to be a little chatty. And he'll say to me on Sundays during football season, he'll say, hey, honey, how about after church you keep your stiletto to a minimum? Because I really want to make the kickoff for the Panthers game. We got to go home. We got to get changed. Now, the reason that this is really a really good tool that's non-threatening, what he really said to me is, shut up and get in the car. Do you know what I mean? But he said it in a way that he's not attacking me. He's owning, I know this is your bent, but I'm just going to kind of go in advance and see if we can have a conversation about this. What you learn today, you get to take back into your homes and into your relationships. And there was somebody here last night that already did this. Where are you? I saw you. Who came up to you? Yes, yes. Where you had a great conversation with your husband, didn't you? And you said, I learned some things about me, and I learned some things about you, and it created this common vocabulary for you. So go raise your hand so if they have any questions, they can see you afterward. So, okay, there's a couple of things, too, just as you're thinking about this. I promise you that as you use this vocabulary in your significant relationships, I promise you that if you will take the risk and be vulnerable, you can get some stuff out that you wish people knew about you. So I can say to my significant, like my team at Proverbs, and I'll say, Just so you know that when I get nervous talking, it's really because I'm starting to feel insecure about something or I feel stupid. And that gives them a great chance to love me and say, it's okay. You're going to be okay. Just shut up a little bit, you know. But it's a great talking point. So I promise you there's something that you wish other people understood about you. And I pray the Lord will empower you to go home and tell the significant people in your life. The other thing I promise you, they wish you knew something about yourself. They wish you knew. They wish you knew that when you were controlling, it made them feel stupid. That when you micromanage them, it makes them feel invisible and ineffective. So this is how we can begin to have some conversations. Like I said, God created four personality styles. All personality styles are neutral. It's not like there's one really good one and three lousy ones. There's four great personality styles. All of them have strengths and all of them have weaknesses. And strengths carried to an extreme become weaknesses. For instance, if you're a leader carried to an extreme, you become a dictator. You're too bossy. If you are really laid back, carried to an extreme, you become a doormat. And you get walked on, or a people pleaser. Ecclesiastes 7:18 says that the wise man will avoid all extremes. And so today we want to learn how we can get the Holy Spirit to take over the weaknesses that we keep tripping over and over all of our lives. And the Holy Spirit can help you do it. In your flesh, if you could do it in your flesh, you would have already done it. But the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit, but we can also get better in our weaknesses. Sometimes we fall in our strengths, and so we have to get better in our strengths as well. Okay, let's take a look at our shoes. Here's our shoes. And again, I'm sorry. I tried to at least find a boot with a heel on it. So if you've ever done a different personality test or assessment, I just wanted to give you a basis of understanding. Our work boots today in the disc are going to be the D's. If you've ever done the animal one, it's the lions. And I know y'all like the Florence and Marita Litauer here. And if you've ever done their test, it's the powerful choleric. This is the dominant and decisive personality. The stiletto pumps are the eyes in the disc. They're the otters in the animals. And they're the popular sanguine, if you understand those. The Mary Janes, they are the C in the disc. They are the beavers with the animals and the perfect melancholy. And then lastly, our flip-flops are the S's in the disc, the golden retriever, and the peaceful phlegmatic. So that's kind of the image that we want to keep in our mind. I want to talk for a minute just about our overview of our shoes. Work boots, if they were going to live by a saying, the saying that they're going to live by is, if it's got to be, it's up to me. They're very take charge, very in control. Stilettos live by the saying, life's too short, so eat dessert first. Always looking for fun, amen? Mary Janes, there's a place for everything and everything in its place. And the flip-flops, why stand when you can sit? Just a little clue for the grid. The grid is really important as we're talking about these. The work boots and the stilettos, by nature, they're assertive. They're going to be the first person that walk into a barbecue and just walk up and introduce themselves to somebody. The Mary Janes and the flip-flops, they're going to be more reserved. They'd rather just hang out behind the scenes. The work boots and the Mary Janes, the left side, they're motivated by tasks. They like doing things. They love checklists and spreadsheets and all that kind of stuff. Goals. And the stilettos and flip-flops, they're motivated by people, relationships. If this is the only thing you take home, those four things are tools that will help you. Now, this is also very important. It doesn't mean that a reserved person isn't assertive. Of course they're assertive. It's just you have to learn to step over that. It doesn't mean that task people don't like people. And it doesn't mean that motivated people, can't accomplish tasks. It just means in your bent, in your wiring, this is the way you're motivated. Proverbs, I think it's 22:6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. That phrase, train up a child, is according to their bent. Your bent is your wiring. So you're bent in these directions as you're wired. Okay, so who do we know? Let's look a little bit more closely at our four shoes. And then I'm going to give you a face to put on these. First of all, a work boot achieves success by taking decisive actions toward their goals. A couple words jump out on that I want you to pay attention to. Decisive actions and goals. A work boot doesn't like to sit still. Even vacation. How many work boots have to go conquer the wind and the waves on vacation, right? Flip-flops and stilettos, they just want a book and a beach. So my husband and I have had to work on that with our vacations because he can't sit still and I'm kind of a sloth on vacation. So the two words there are actions. They like taking action and they like goals. They're very competitive by nature, so they want to keep score. They're inspired by metrics. They're going to ask questions like, how many women came to Shimmer? How many of those women are first timers? Those are the kind of questions that a work boot is going to ask. Now, the people that we know, the Apostle Paul would have been a work boot, that bold driver personality. Donald Trump, you're fired. You know what I mean? He's got that powerful. Donald Trump can't walk into a room and you not know it. Do you know what I mean? That's the way a work boot just has this really powerful aura about them. And then Scarlett O'Hara, she was a feminine work boot. She found those drapes on the window and she said, take those things down and let's make it into a dress. Stilettos, they achieve success by persuading others to work with them toward a goal. Operative words, persuade and with others. Stilettos don't want to work by themselves. You'll kill a stiletto. So if you're raising a stiletto, give them as much opportunity to be with teammates as they can and friends. And then persuade. This personality likes to sell and market and trend set. Again, they're influencers. And the famous people that we know or recognizable people, the Apostle Peter would have been a stiletto, Bill Clinton, and then Kelly Ripa, or pretty much anybody on morning television, Kathy and Hoda, they're pretty much stilettos. Now, the Mary Janes work within rules and procedures to ensure success. Operative words, rules and procedures. They like boundaries. They like to know how far they can play. They like processes and systems, forms. They love a form. Mary Janes love a form, and that's how they achieve success. People that you might know, Doubting Thomas needed proof. Show me the hands. They kind of ask a lot of questions. Why this? Why that? What's going to happen to these people? What's going to happen to all these people? How are we going to feed them lunch? Do we have enough bathrooms for them? Those are the kind of questions that a Mary Jane. Misty, you know what I'm talking about, right? Bill Gates was a Mary Jane, is a Mary Jane, and Jackie Kennedy was a Mary Jane. Now, our flip-flops, they work with others as part of a team. It's really important that flip-flops can be identified with a larger group. They don't like to work alone. And famous Jimmy Carter was a flip-flop, is a flip-flop, and Charlie Brown, that laid-back, stable kind of Charlie Brown, and Moses, or is it Charlton Heston? I can't remember which one he is. Okay, so let's move, and we're going to talk about our strengths. I'm going to give you an overview, and it's going to be kind of fast, so, it's going to be like drinking from a fire hose, but we're going to overview our strengths for just a minute, starting with the work boot. Work boots are our natural-born leaders. It does not take a rocket scientist to visit a playground and figure out which of these kids are work boots, because they're deciding what to play, how long to play it, what positions they're going to play. Parenthetically, and this is really important, if you're not a work boot, it does not mean you're not a leader. You can lead. It's just you're going to lead through your own wiring. I feel like women always get confused that just because this is the personality that has most tendencies toward leadership, it doesn't mean that the other personalities don't lead. They make quick and accurate decisions. My husband is fast on his feet, and he's usually right. He said, don't tell him, please. I know I've got 900 women here. Shh, Don't tell him he's usually white. I'm still trying to keep that from him. They have a huge, strong work ethic. They can accomplish more in 24 hours than the other three personalities can seem to do in the rest of the week. They love a challenge. My husband, his favorite day is putting out fires. Give him something to figure out. Problem solving, critical thinking. They're very competitive. If you've ever played spoons with a work boot, you're like, whoa, you can win. I don't need it that bad. And they like performance and results. Now, this is one of those strengths that carry to an extreme. You have to make sure that you're not telling the people in your life that love means you perform. It just means you are motivated for performance. That's how you feel motivated. The other thing I want to say to the women in this room, if you're a work boot, I feel like there's somebody here that needs to hear this. I think this personality, as far as we've come with, you know, equal pay for women and all that kind of stuff, I think this personality with women is still misunderstood. I think as in the church especially, sometimes it feels like a male dominant kind of personality traits. And I just want to say the Lord has equipped and wired you to be a bold and dynamic force for the kingdom. Don't be afraid of it. Let the Holy Spirit temper it, but don't be afraid of it. Okay, the strengths of a stiletto. Oh, they inspire, they influence, they're playful, they're curious, they're really good kind of upfront presenters. They make best friends everywhere they go. If you're in a grocery line and you're two or three back with a stiletto, they're going to be their best friends on the way. They're like, goodbye, good talking to you, you know what I mean? Airplanes, you know, everywhere you go, you make good friends. They have a great sense of humor, kind of a belly laugh sense of humor, lots of smiles, lots and lots of smiles. You can usually hear their conversation. They're really good whether you want to or not. They're really good communicators. They tend to be really good communicators, although sometimes use too many words. And they're trendsetters. Now, let me tell you, sometimes the trendsetter in them is like where they got the best fitting jeans. You know what I mean? They're like, I got to tell everybody I know about these jeans. But sometimes it's saying you got to get yourself to this Shimmer conference. You know, a lot of times the stilettos will have like 10 people in Bible study. They're always telling people because they love to include those around them with the things that are important to them. Okay, let's move on and look at the strengths of Mary Jane. Now, Mary Janes are faithful, organized, consistent. They have quality, accurate work. They're thoughtful, like thoughtful contemplative. Typically, the work boot and the stiletto, they speak and then they think. You know, because their words are always ready to come out. Not a Mary Jane. A Mary Jane is always going to think and then speak. So they're thoughtful, they're contemplative, but they're thoughtful like they remember how you take your coffee. That kind of thing, they remember, and it feels like a really great thing to be remembered like that. They're self-sacrificing. Now, it might take you a while to get close to a Mary Jane because they tend to be a little bit guarded. But once you get in, they will cut off their arm for you. They absolutely are self-sacrificing. They're great with boundaries, because they won't commit to anything until they've thought it through and prayed it through. My friend Wendy Blight, you're going to hear, she's an amazing boundary setter because she's contemplative, she's thoughtful, and she's also very prayerful. The Mary Jane of all the personalities tends to have a tendency toward prayer because they don't mind withdrawing, they don't mind being alone, and they have this deep, deep connection to other people. They love, if you've given birth to a Mary Jane, you might be pretty impressed with your parenting. I gave birth, my first was a Mary Jane, and because they're rule followers, they're perfect students, you know, I would say to Kelsey, now don't leave, I just want you to play in the family room in the kitchen, I don't want you to leave. She's like, okay, you know, and then I had Connor. So, but they tend to be perfect, perfect students, and they want their lives, they love anything organized. So like the Container Store or something, they would really love their lives to be in clear plastic boxes with labels on the end. You know what I'm saying? Like bills, toys, art projects, that kind of thing. Let's talk about our flip-flops. Our flip-flops are, they are our peacemakers. Stable, laid back, steady, easygoing, wonderful mediator. They're always trying to bring unity. They're trying to bring peace. They're witty, but not a gut belly laugh, more of a ha-ha under their breath sense of humor. They're loyal, and they have very low expectations of people. They're kind of the glue that hold all the other personalities together. Now, let me tell you why low expectations is a strength. Let's pretend that the four shoes are going to go out to lunch after this. And so you say, where do you want to go? And they go, I don't care. Well, so you go, well, let's go to Italian. And the workbook goes, I had Italian last night. I'm not having Italian again. The stiletto is going to say, oh my gosh, let's go to that Mexican place. It's so fun. We wear hats and we sing there. The Mary Jane is going to say, I'm not going to that Italian place. Did you see the sanitation score? It was horrible the last time we were there. And the flip-flop is going to say, I don't care. And they mean, I don't care. They could have had Italian the night before that and the night before that. And they're going to go, it's such a gift. It's such a gift you are to the personalities, to the body of Christ. Okay, so I want you to take just, I'm just going to give you like 3 minutes to buddy with somebody sitting next to you. Because I'm a life coach, and there's two things that I know as a coach. If you write something and if you speak it, you're more apt to own it. If you write it or if you speak it. So I want you to take like 2 minutes with the person next to you, and I want you to put your godly swagger on, and I want you to own a strength. And I want you to say, this is the way God created me. He made me a communicator, and I love that about me. So write it down and then share it with the person next to you. Just 2 minutes. I love this. You're owning a lot of strengths. That's very healthy. I'm seeing the swagger. Good job. Okay, now I hate to do this, but now we got to talk about our weaknesses. I'm sorry, I don't really want to, but I think God wants us to. I think He wants us to be aware and not use our weaknesses that we keep tripping over as an excuse. So now I'm going to highlight some typical weaknesses. It doesn't mean it's you. Please don't own something that isn't. Women get so, they're so used to saying where their weaknesses are, so I don't want this to become a focus, but I do believe we have to talk about it. So let's move on to our work boots. Our work boots, we like to thrive on opposition. They kind of like some healthy debate. And so you might have to understand that not everybody wants to chew on your bone. And it can be really, really, like my husband will go to a dinner party and it's like, wah, wah, you know, and I'm like, no, we don't want to talk about politics right now. You also might be bossy or controlling. You might be a little bit too controlling. You might be impatient or quick-tempered because you always want stuff going fast. So you're like, come on, bottom line me. And people in your life feel like they're being shimmied along, you know. That you might be too blunt. One of the ladies I talked to last night, our husbands don't have a social filter, you know, that they can. And I'm like, did you really say that? So you might have to season your words a little bit or hold out or ask your best friend before you say something. Say, should I be saying this? Also, because you're always right, you might have little need for other people's opinions. Now, you get so used to being right that you're just like, I'm just not even going to take into consideration any of this. And that really, really disables other people in your life. So slow yourself down enough to really absorb, even if you end up being right anyways, because that's, again, giving that to the Holy Spirit. It's not you who's right. It's that discernment that the Holy Spirit's put in you. So learn to take into other people's opinions. Stilettos. Ouch. Every one of these is hard for me. Too much talking. I am such a chatty person. I'm a life coach, and so my training has told me that I should talk 20% of the time, and my clients should talk 80%. And of that 20%, most of those should be questions. It shouldn't be about me. Let me tell you about my shoes or something like that. So I have this post-it note next to my coaching phone, and it says, WAIT, why am I talking? So that's just one stiletto to another. That might help you. Also, you might be too playful. You know how you go right up to the line And you know better than going over, but you know you're going to put your toe right over there. It might be something irreverent that you've said, or, you know, your mouth might get you in trouble. You might be undisciplined and unscheduled. So you're like at PTA and you're saying, I would be happy to bake all those brownies next week. But you never write it down anywhere, and so you never remember, you know. Undisciplined, unscheduled, scattered. Getting out of the house is always interesting. You know, where are the keys? Where's your phone? Where's your diaper bag? Now, the Mary Janes have a key right next to their garage door. You know, it's like all the keys are lined up next to that. And they're like, why can't you just do that? That's so much better. They tend to be suppressed by a schedule. They like to be spontaneous. And ladies, you know you have to be on a schedule. You have to be on time. And I tell people all the time, if you think you can't be on time, you can be. You get your taxes filed by April 15th. It just is you choose you don't want to be on time. So you have to make yourself a priority for you. Mary Jane, some of the possible weaknesses for a Mary Jane: overly scheduled and detailed. They're inflexible, and they don't do anything that's not scheduled. So you might need to learn to be a little bit spontaneous. Also, you want to have everything planned before you can start a project, and that's just not always practical. Sometimes you just have to launch and figure it out on the way. You're not always going to have the ability. This big weakness for this personality is being a perfectionist. And the reason that's hard is you and everybody in your life fall short of your standard. And of course, there is no such thing as perfection. There's no such thing as perfection. And it weighs on your husband, your children, your significant relationships. Also, you could be overly sensitive or critical, judgmental. You're not going to say it. You're just like, yeah, well, she did it again, didn't she? Well, you know, she probably deserved that, you know. A little bit tense. So, and give yourself the ability to take a B. Take a B. Instead of always needing an A, practice taking a B. I have a friend who's a perfectionist, and one of her assignments was that she had to practice not fixing the pillows on her couch. She couldn't walk past, and she was like, oh, it's killing me. And for a whole week, she had to walk past her couch. Okay. Weaknesses of our flip-flops. Flip-flops lack motivation to the point where they're almost lazy. You know what I'm saying? They stay uninvolved. Maybe they watch versus work, or they observe versus really jumping right in. And they're always fixing to do something. That's a Southern term. I'm fixing to do it. I love to use the example that, say, a flip-flop got these beautiful framed prints for Christmas. And in March, those frame prints are leaning against the wall where they're going to be hung. Maybe they even have their hammer and nail sitting next to it. They're fixing to get to it. Just not quite ready to take the action. So if you're a flip-flop, you're going to need to put some dates and times on your action steps to get moving. Also, you might be a procrastinator and go with, what's the least I can possibly do to get away with it? The other thing is, because you hate conflict, this personality hates conflict, which is why they're a peacemaker. But if you're not careful, you don't feel the freedom and the confidence to express your opinion when somebody has hurt you, and so you stuff it. And then that person hurts you again, and then you stuff it again, and then you stuff it again, and then somebody like leaves the cap off the milk, and you go bananas. Do you know what I'm saying? Where the whole house goes, what just happened? Is it the milk? What happened? So all the other personalities, it's really important that you help draw flip-flops into safe conflict. Draw flip-flops into safe conflict. That's what we're going to talk about in just a minute. Okay, now what I want you to do, I'm not going to have you share a weakness. I'm not going to make you do that. But I do believe the Lord wants you to identify one or more. So I want you to take just a minute and let the Holy Spirit rain down on you and let Him press on you and say, you're ready. You're ready to be done with that. And for the next 6 months, you watch what I do. You watch what I do. What has God revealed to you as a weakness? Write it down. I'm just going to give you a few minutes to sit and listen to God right now. Okay, we talked about conflict. Now we're going to end, coming around the end here, and talk about what do the four shoes, how do they respond to conflict? And I think this is extremely important in the church, because sometimes we're too nice to have conflict, and then that just leads to resentment. And that's where that bitter root gets a hold. So let's look at the four responses to the conflict. Notice that the work boot and the stilettos are going to become assertive. They move toward conflict. They're not afraid of it. They're going to move toward it. The Mary Jane and the flip-flops, they're suppressing in conflict. They're going to suppress. If this is you and your husband, go home and go work through this. Go ahead and take a picture of that. Work through the sheet with your family. Notice that the work boot and the Mary Jane are going to focus on logic. My husband's very logical in our conflict. It makes me crazy. It makes me crazy because he's like, I can't talk to you when you're like this. I'm like, oh, yes, you can, as I go chasing him after. That's because I'm the stiletto and the flip-flop who will focus on feelings. We focus on our feelings in conflict. If all you do is understand that a work boot is going to become demanding in conflict and they want to win. Remember, they're competitive, and so they create win-lose outcomes. They want victory. If you're a work boot today, you need to find some gray area in your conflict. You don't have to win or lose. You have to find some middle ground. You can become inflexible. You can become stubborn, even overpower people. And again, of course, that doesn't mean you're being wrestled to the ground in conflict. But what it does mean is the work boot has a powerful personality. And so it feels very forceful to the other personalities. Stiletto, their goal is to express themselves and be acknowledged. They don't have to be right, but they have to be heard. I have a friend who is a stiletto, whether it's conflict or not, and I know I have to add 30 minutes to every meeting with her because I know she really needs to process verbally. I think, can't you put this in an email? Mm-mm. No, she's got to process verbally. In conflict, they want to be heard. They're most likely to just kind of blow past conflict with humor or not really recognize the tension. The Mary Jane, their goal is justice. They want it right and they want it fair. And I hate to be the one that tells you life just ain't fair sometimes. Sometimes it's not going to be conflict wrapped up in a neat, tidy little bow. So if you're a Mary Jane, you just have to understand that. And you're most likely to withdraw in conflict. And I really want to focus on our flip-flop for a minute, because flip-flops become paralyzed by conflict. So if you love or are a flip-flop, be very careful. It might be a great thing this afternoon to go home and say, I learned something. I know I'm too aggressive with you in conflict. I want to help draw you into it where it's safe. And we can do that in the body of Christ. Their goal is harmony, and they comply. Even if they don't agree, they're going to comply with what. Okay, I want you to take a minute, and I want you just to think about any conflict that you've been through. Maybe it's unresolved. And just in this quiet moment, ask God, is there anything that I have just learned about somebody I love? Is there any part of a relationship that I have to go back and reconcile? Loving them the way you wired them. Not the way I would want it, but stepping over and doing it the way you would want it to be. Now, ladies, I am a big believer that you've taken in a lot of information, and I appreciate you being sponges and absorbing it. But information without application cannot lead to transformation. And we want to be different, don't we? We want to leave here changed. So I'm going to let you spend the next 5 minutes just going through some coaching questions about some of the things that we talked about today, so you can leave with some action steps on some things that God might want you to do. Let's see, our first coaching question. What are you wired to do that you know you can get better at? God wants us to get better at our strengths. For instance, I'm a communicator, and I was telling Jen this morning, I want to get better at my writing. I'm pretty good as a verbal communicator, but I'm a horrible writer. And so that's one of the strengths that I want to get better at. So what is one thing? What obstacles? What resources do you need? Kind of try to predict some of the things that are going to get in your way of getting better at that. And what's your time frame? Put a date. Like, I want to sign up to have this conversation with my husband. You know, I want it done by the end of the week or whatever. Listen to God and just journal a little bit about some of these chipping questions. God's chipping some stuff in our lives. The next question I want you to think through is, what is at stake if you don't act on these things? Is there a relationship that's going to remain strained? Is there part of your destiny that you're going to miss because you're not developing? What's at stake if you choose to just walk away and do nothing? Also, is there any part of what you learned today that you think has to do with a dream or a calling that God has placed within you? Are you afraid of it? Talk to God. I promise you, He will give you everything you face. What is He pulling forth in your life? Write it down. Lastly, ladies, can you honestly walk with godly confidence in who He has created you to be? Is there any comparison, insecurity, confession you need to face with God about your wiring? Are you having personality envy that you like someone else's? Are you feeling less than, like you're disappointed with the wiring that He's gifted you with? And as we close today, so what? So what? What do we do with our strengths? Well, first of all, we can only own godly swagger if we give our strengths back to Him and say, thank you, Jesus, that I'm organized and amazing. What do you want me to do? Are you chiseling and chipping away at my strengths, taking some of the rough edges off of them, making them better? We give them back and we use them for God's glory, because we don't want to walk around and put ourselves on display. We are supposed to walk around and reflect in God. When people see something, they don't see our personality. They don't see our sparkle. They see Jesus. That's what He wants us to do with our strengths. Let Him chip away and chisel away and get better at them. What do we do with our weaknesses? Please don't use them as an excuse. Just because it's the way you are doesn't mean it's okay. Maybe there's something that God wants you to lay down and understand that you will always trip over it in your flesh. We need to live 2 Corinthians 12:9. God's grace is sufficient because His power is made perfect in that very place of weakness that we experience. Let Him chip it away. Leave it behind today, ladies, by the power of His Holy Spirit. Don't use it as an excuse. And then lastly, the reason that I have a block of wood and a chisel and a hammer is because I feel like God is turning you into his masterpiece, in your strengths and in your weaknesses. When Michelangelo carved the statue of David, he was asked, how did you take that block of marble and turn it into that masterpiece right there? Aren't you glad I covered up the bottom? I'm not a stupid girl. And you know what he said? He just chipped away anything that didn't look like David. Ladies, in your strengths and in your weaknesses, let Him chip away anything that doesn't look like Him. And I'm going to close by chipping so you can hear Him chipping while I pray for us, okay? Would you pray? Lord Jesus, we just feel the expectations of the world falling away as you chip away the lies that women in this room have believed, and we replace them with the truth that we are the women that you've created us to be. We have a purpose, we have a calling, and we have a destiny. Lord, chip away anything that's going to get in your way of us fulfilling that calling. Make our strength stronger. Make our weaknesses go away by the power of your Holy Spirit. And let us participate with you in your process. Thank you, Jesus, that you care enough to chisel, even though sometimes it hurts. It stretches us and it grows us and it challenges us, but we're willing. We ask this in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen.